This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
So great to have Leland Mooring from the group Leland joining us on the line. Hello, Leland.
How are you doing today?
Very well. I have to say, your name, I love the name. And I was like, could one day, potentially if I have kids, will I call them Leland? Do you know what it means?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to have a good name. I think I like my name as well. I got it from... it was a random uncle of mine. I've never met him. I think actually he passed away on my mom's side of the family. And my mom just liked the name, and I spell it with two E's. Most of the time it's spelled with one E.
Oh, right.
She spelled it with one E, or with two E's. So I get to, my nickname's Lee. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's cool.
For sure. You guys have such an amazing sound. But I have to admit to you, when I first heard you guys, I thought, oh, these guys are English for sure. But you're not. You're Texan.
Yeah, we're kind of posers in that, right? We love the whole Brit rock thing. We love a lot of our favorite bands are bands like Coldplay and U2. And
what about Travis?
We love Travis. We love Travis. We love Keane. We love we have a lot of also indie European bands that we like that I can't even with a ton of them that we like. And then I think too, we've all grown up in the church. And I grew up listening mostly to black gospel and southern gospel music because I'm from the South. I'm from Baytown, Texas, and so we listen to a lot of southern gospel. And my family all sings, and they're all musicians. And so I grew up around music ministry my whole life. And so, and then when I was about 11, my brother gave me the CD from Delirious, the Glow CD. It's called Glow.
Right.
And it was just an amazing worship record. I still think it's one of the best Christian, I think it's one of the best albums ever. I love the record. It's amazing. And that really inspired me a lot. It opened me up to a new sound of music, and I really liked it. And so I started listening to other sort of British worship bands that I really liked and got into Matt Redman and got into, the Third Day Offerings record was something that I really liked as well. So we kind of grew from there. But when I was a kid, though, all I would sing was Southern Gospel music. And so God really got to open our musical horizons. I think it's definitely affected our music as a band. But it's a lot of fun.
Is it true that you actually wrote your first song at age 11, Shine?
Yes. And actually that was my parents helped me finish it. Something that was really cool, our family, I have a mom, my mom, my dad, and my older brother, Jack, plays keyboards in the band. And then my little sister, Shelley, she's helping at our church. My mom and dad are pastors now. We started the church 7 years ago. But before we started the church, when I was 11, my brother was 13 and my sister was 9. We went on the road for 2 years. We ministered as a family.
Wow.
And we would go from church to church, and we would be like there for 3 and 4 days with two different evangelists. One was from Australia. His name was Nigel McNeil.
Right.
And he's a great minister of God. He's one of my grandpas in the spirit. He's just awesome. And so he's kind of a radical guy. And him and his wife, we become really close to their family. They come over to the States a lot, and they minister in the States. They're from Budrum, and so we hooked up with them through a ministry friend of ours, and we traveled with them for almost 2 years, and also another guy named Dale Gentry from Oklahoma, and it was kind of a leap of faith because our my mom and my dad were music ministers before at a church, and they were let go from the church, and we kind of had nowhere to go. And so all we knew was just to travel. And so we traveled, we packed up our Lincoln Town car, and God hooked us up with both of those ministers. And we went with them for 2 years, switching off. And we would be at 4 days with Nigel somewhere and 4 days with Dale somewhere. And God just did some really amazing things during that time. And that's when God really began to, that's when I began to experience God more, like the reality of his presence and the Holy Spirit. That's when God began to, inspire songwriting in my heart and would always give me melodies. I started noticing getting melodies and stuff. And my parents helped me finish that song, Shine, together. So,
what an amazing foundation. I suppose probably set you up these days to kind of travel around and do a similar thing.
Yeah, definitely. So when the band started, we were kind of veterans to the road a little bit.
How did it all come together? Because I understand it kind of started in a way with a talent competition and you being a finalist. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Well, right after our family traveled, we came home, and we started the church. And so when you start the church, you know, financially it's kind of tough. And our whole family was involved in starting this church, and we still are. You know, my brother was helping with the youth, and I would help lead worship for the youth in the church. And I was like 13, and he was like 17. And so that's kind of how we started the church. And at the time, I was writing more songs, and I'm kind of a charismatic, real passionate kid, especially back then. I was like, if I was passionate about something, I'd bug my parents until, you know, it happened. And so I kept bugging my mom. I was like, Mom, you got to know somebody that can hear my songs and stuff, because I was really excited about it. I was like, you got to get me a producer. And I didn't even know what a producer was. I heard it in movies. I knew it was something important.
I knew I needed one.
Yeah. And so I kept asking her the question about it. And so through a friend of hers, she heard about an event, like a talent showcase in Nashville called Embassy Music. And so I went up there with my mom, and we didn't have a lot of money to floating around to do big road trips. So but we just did it. We had faith in God and did it. And I went up there, met Darwin Moody, who's the head of NBC Music, and he said I reminded him a lot of himself when he was young. So God gave us favor with him. We had a good relationship with him. And then about a few months later, he invited us to come back to a small songwriters thing in this hotel that he was ballroom hotel. It was going to be a small kind of thing. And we didn't know if we wanted to go or not. We didn't know if we had the money, and my Aunt Callie funded it for us to go. Mm. We went up there and ended up meeting Kent Coley, who became our manager for a long time. Kent Coley was working in job transition, and it kind of just spurred off from there. We ended up having a relationship with him for a couple of years, and he ended up inviting me up to EMI Publishing to meet his boss and to sing some songs for him. And wow. And then after that, by the time that happened, our band was getting together and leading worship to youth, and I told him we had a band, and so that people came down and heard our band in Little Baytown and our little town, and God just gave us favor with them all, and we never really, as a group, we never really sought after. The only thing I did was when I was 13, go to that talent showcase, and that was it. Other than that, we just stayed faithful to our church and sought God, and it was totally over a course of like 4 years that God did it all, and it's just we're really excited to be in the season, but you know, if God takes all the records off the shelf tomorrow and we go back home, you know, we'd be fine coming back home and plugging right back into our church where we left off. So we're really, really excited to be here right now and just having fun while we're doing it.
Well, very excited about your new album, which came out this year, Love on the Move. Tell us a bit about that and the inspiration behind it.
Well, I think the title track, Love is on the Move, the song basically just talks about, first of all, Jesus was the first to be love on the move for all of us. When he went to the cross and died on the cross, he was the first demonstration of love on the move. What I love about Jesus is his ministry was it was always action, and then he spoke. He always met people's needs. If there was a need, he would meet the need, and then he would present that he was the truth and the way. And I think that's something very powerful to take from Jesus and the way he lived his life, was that he would meet people's needs first. Because I think it's always been this way, and especially nowadays, people don't want to know how many scriptures you know, and they don't want to know how much you know about God until they know how much you care about them. And I think that's something very important, that when we begin to get a hold of that, then we're living like God intends us to live, and we're giving the love that God intends us to give, which is his love. And his love doesn't talk first. His love acts first. And when it sees a messy need or a broken person, it runs to brokenness. God's love runs to messy situations, you know, and I think that's something when loving people and loving the broken and the homeless sometimes can get a little bit dirty. Mm. I think when the church begins to be willing to get their hands dirty a little bit and get down there with the broken and the needy and begin to be God, be love to the world around them and in their community and their city, then God begins to bless the church. And there's so many blessings attached to that, because you link right up with what God's heart is, and his heart is with needy and broken people. And that's not just homeless people or people who are poor, but that's also people who may have tons of money and just don't have God and at the same time have nothing. I remember one time when we were traveling with our family, the church we were staying at, this family hosted us, and this father that was in California, and this church, this house was gorgeous. It was this huge mansion. He had all these muscle cars, and just he had money floating everywhere. And he, you know, and he probably never needed anything financially. And at the time, our family lived in a small home back at home, and we were driving a beat down Lincoln Town Car, and living literally week to week, and God would provide every week. And it was just a thing where I think my dad was sitting down in the living room, was just like, you know, this house is so awesome, you know. And my mom's always wanted a really nice house at the time, and she has one now. But she, you know, at the time we were living in a small home, and I think it was that night when we ministered at that church, the dad came up to my dad and he said, you know, he said, you might think that I'm a really wealthy person. They said, you know, when I looked at you up there with your family, all worshiping God together, and having God, I said, I looked at you and I realized that you're way more wealthy than I'll ever be, and that really struck home with us. There's so many people out there who might have a lot of stuff, but and come to find out that the father's son was addicted to drugs and all these things, and his family wasn't serving God. To him, that was way more important than anything money could ever buy. And so I think that's something very important to get a hold of as well. There are people out there who are maybe rich and they just don't have God. They're not rich spiritually. And so that's what this record's talking about. You know, I think something cool that about the record, it's our last record, Opus Away, was kind of very speaking to people. And, you know, in our first record, a lot of the songs are very intimate, speaking to God. And I think with this record, it's a little bit of both. It's speaking about some of the songs speaking about justice issues, but it's singing them to God. And I think that's something that's very important. There's a song called Follow You. It's basically saying, God, I'll follow you into the home of the broken, and I'll follow you into the world. And, you know, you're making that declaration to God. It's pretty hard not to do it after you've sung that song. Mm. And so I think that's something that's really challenging us as a band when we're singing these songs to actually go out and live it, you know, and not just be people who sing words.
Aaron's 120 Seconds of Getting to Know You Quiz Bonanza! Bonanza! Bonanza!
Your full name?
Leland Dayton Mooring.
Dream instrument?
Oh my gosh. I would say a 1963 Gibson 330 hollow body.
What are you most afraid of?
What am I most afraid of? Clowns. Clowns scare me.
I'm with you there.
When I was a kid, I would probably run away, but probably nowadays, I probably just want to hit him if they came towards me, because I'm really scared of him. I'm really freaked out by him.
Me too. What do you do when you get bored?
I play video games. I like soccer a lot. I'll play soccer, or I'll play a soccer video game.
Nice. Which song do you wish you wrote?
Oh, that's a good one. In the Name of Love by U2.
Very nice. Favorite pizza topping?
Cheese and more cheese. I'm just a cheese guy, so.
You and me, we're so much alike.
Yes.
And what is the best thing about Texas?
There's a lot of good things about Texas. I would say the best thing about Texas would be our barbecue. We've got really good barbecue in Texas. Some of the best food. Actually, Texas in general just has some of the best food. If you've never had, I don't know if you Australians have ever had really good Mexican food.
Mm.
We've got the best Mexican food ever in Texas. It's even better than actual Mexican food when you go over to Mexico.
Wow.
We've been to Mexico, and some of the Mexican, because it's just different. You know, in Texas, there's like, they call it Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex.
So it's kind of like, it's a little bit different than Texas, than Mexican food, but it's kind of got the Mexican feel. It's so good. So we love to eat. Our band loves to eat. So,
well, our time is up there, Leland. Thanks so much for catching up with us. I've got to say though, just quickly, from hearing what you said in your quiz there, you like soccer. I've also noticed that your hair is quite red. Is that natural, by the way?
Yes, it's natural. It's my dad had red hair, fiery red hair when he was young, and my grandma had really bright red hair. So I think I got it from a little bit of both of them. So
I think you might be English. I don't think you're Texan at all.
Yeah, well, our band got to play in Ireland, and when we were there, it's like nothing but redheaded people everywhere. It's like the movies, and I was like, I'm at home. This is so awesome. I'm family to you people somewhere. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. Leland, so great to catch up with you today. Thank you so much for your music. It is amazing, and loving this new album.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.